Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. And I'll be reading from verse 4. Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Are you there? It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruits. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished." You know, if you're going to say amen, it's good to say it properly. And if you don't want to say amen, don't bother to say it. But a half-hearted amen will not get you anywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the 7 says, "And seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive." That's not you. You are not captive. But, and it says, "And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." Let's jump to verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." I pray God is going to visit somebody here in the name of Jesus. That before the end of this month, you will receive a divine visitation, an angelic one in the name of Jesus. Verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to me." God will listen to your voice when you pray in Jesus' name. Verse 13, and it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Our supporting text this morning is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And I'll be reading from verse 1. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. You might want to keep your hands in Jeremiah or put your bookmark there. We probably will go back there later on. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "In the first day of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that it would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face," notice that it says he understood, and it says, verse 3, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." Let's jump to verse 20. "Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering." Verse 22. "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision." God will give somebody the skill to understand the vision in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The title of my message this morning is called Prayer, a Key to Your Future. And this is part 2 of the message I was preaching last week. Prayer, a key to your future. Now, for the purposes and for the sake of those that were not here last week, we started a month of divine revelation last week by talking about what I titled Prayer, a Key to Your Future. And I explained that prayer is very key if you want your future to be secure. I explained that in order to get revelation of what God wants you to do, in order to get revelation and an understanding of the purposes of God for your life, the vision, the dreams He has for you, then there is a price that needs to be paid. And that price is paid in the place of prayer. I went on to explain the fact that the price you pay for a material thing will determine the quality of what you get. So you don't pay a cheap price and expect a good quality. If you want something of good quality, you have to pay a price that reflects the quality. And that's in the physical or material way. But in the spiritual, the quality of your spiritual life will be determined by the price you pay in the place of prayer. If you pray diligently, if you pay the price in the place of prayer, you find out that you will get revelation from God. You will get a word from God. You will get prophecies. You will get God speaking to you. You will get understanding of the scriptures. But if you are not ready to pay the price, I dare to say that you will not get all that and you will live your life according to your own plan and blueprints. So that was where we went last week. And then I went on to explain that why we need to spend time praying, why we need to get revelation from God, is that everything we build in life should be built on revelation from God. If you build and you are not building according to the revelation of God's word, then you are not certain or you don't have the certainty that that thing will stand. So whatever we do, be it a business, be it a marriage, a home, it should be based on revelation. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, the Bible talks about Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And a couple of them answered, "You are John the Baptist," or some say you are John the Baptist, some say that you are Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter answered, he said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Hey, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." But then he then went on to say, on this rock of revelation, the Bible doesn't say rock of revelation, but he said, on this rock, I will build my church. Now, I explained last week that rock that I was talking about means rock of revelation. There's something called revelation, rock of revelation. That's when you get a rock of revelation and begin to build on it, nothing can shake it. And that's what Jesus was saying, that because you caught this revelation, I will build. If you can build upon a revelation, when the storms come, the storms will not overcome it. Listen to me, when you build your life, when you build anything on the rock of revelation, because you know that it's revelation from above, when challenges come, it will not be shaken. When storms come, it will not be destroyed. Are you listening to me this morning? And I explained that based on that, we need to build our lives. Anything we build should be based on revelation. We should not step out unless we have an understanding of the revelation that God is giving us concerning that area. Amen? Amen. And last week, I didn't get to the place, but I'll just mention it quickly. And further down in that scripture, you know, Jesus mentioned, he said that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So he was saying that if you can get that revelation, when you speak, I will answer. Because you are speaking according to the revelation that you've gotten. Amen? Amen? So we'll continue from there. And this morning, I just want to continue along the same lines. And like I said, the title is Prayer, a Key to Your Future. Or you can put it another way by saying securing your future through prayers. Securing your future through prayers. Now, one of the things that God desires from us is that we pray to Him. One of the things that God wants. You see, God is not so much interested in your money. He owns the gold, the silver. He owns the cattle on the hills. So the money is not really, God is not so much interested, so much per se, in your sacrifices. Though he would like you to sacrifice, but he's not so much interested in your sacrifices. One of the things that God really wants is fellowship with us. That's one thing God desires. And one of the ways in which we fellowship is through prayers. Now, what happens when we don't fellowship or when we don't pray? What we are basically telling God is, God, we don't need you. You see, when you don't pray, what you are telling God is that, God, I am the builder of my life. Or when you don't pray about a certain area concerning your life, what you are telling God is that, God, this area does not concern you. I will sort it out myself. So you are saying that, God, I have decided that I will be the architect in this situation, not you. I will be the one building. Don't worry, I don't need you in this area. And that's what happens whenever we don't pray. We are basically telling God that we don't need you in this area. However, get this, in order for us to really get the future that God desires for us, he expects us to pray. Because when we pray, we are able to get access into the throne room to get revelation concerning what he has to say. When we pray, we are able to not just get access, we are able to get his mind concerning the situation. You see, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 4, the Bible talks about Jeremiah speaking the word of God, the heart of God, the heartbeat of God concerning Israel. And he told them the various things that would happen, that they'll be in captivity for 70 years. And then that after the 70 years, something will happen. You need to get this. Because in verse 10, Jeremiah was telling them that you'll be in captivity for 70 years. And then in verse 11, he then told the mind of God that, hey, the thoughts I have for you, that they are thoughts to give you a good future, to give you a hope and an expected end. So God was revealing, giving them revelation that this is the prophetic word concerning your life. This is the prophetic word concerning the nation of Israel. Now, get this. Immediately after God tells them, gives them the prophetic word in verse 11, something struck me there. He then says that, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. So he was saying, hey, I'm giving you a prophetic word, but you need to pray. Although I've given you, told you what I want you to do, what is going to happen to you, but in order for that to come to pass, you need to pray. Because in verse 13, he says, then you call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Listen to me. What God was basically saying there is that, look, I have a blueprint for your life. I have a plan.